love,
recovery,
and rock and roll.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. I'm pretty excited this week. We have our first official guest on the podcast, the Love, Recovery, and Rock and Roll podcast. A gentleman that I met when I was in residential treatment at Turning Point Centers. And he's on staff up there. Great man. Glad to have you. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming. It means a lot to me that you'd come in here. Jeff is a saint. I'll let Amy go a little bit more. She's got a nickname for him, but I'll let her divulge that.
I call Jeff the Angel of Turning Point. When I first met Jeff, it was at Chris's... It was the first AA meeting I ever went to, and it was a combined AA Al-Anon meeting. And Chris, you were getting your 30-day chip, I believe. You were still in residential. And I toted the baby in because I wanted to be there. And I was looking for, okay, where is everybody sitting? And I saw Jeff. And Jeff, you were just so friendly and kind. You said, hey, can I hold the baby? And I went, I like this guy. He's just really nice. You had already talked a little bit about Jeff, mm-hmm. how great he was to you and to the other residents. And so it's just been a joy to get to know you. And you're just great. You really are the angel of Turning Point in championing others into sobriety.
Thank you. I'm just trying to be myself and help others that are in the struggle. And because I got this for free, and I'm trying to give it away for free. So thank you for those compliments.
Yeah, that you are loved inside and out there. I can promise you that. Everybody loves Jeff. I would like to just maybe get some general background from you. I know you're in recovery yourself. We can get a little more into that in a bit, but if you'd like to share just a little personal background on yourself real quick, we'd love to hear it.
Sure. I was born in Brighton, Utah. My dad had a restaurant up there. My sister, I, and my other sister were born in Brighton. When I was 4 and a half, it burned down to the ground, and we moved to Salt Lake. In the ashes, my mother said, why don't we rebuild? The restaurant was called the Balsam Inn, and they came to Salt Lake and called the Balsam Embers. So early on, I was in the restaurant business, and that's what I've done my whole life until about 4 years ago.
You've been in recovery 28 years now?
Yes, I've been sober for 28 years. Yeah. I've jumped back in about 8 years ago. I didn't want to drink or use, but I wanted suicide. I thought that was the only way out. So I thought, I better get back into recovery or I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And so 8 years ago, I started going to meetings. I found a sponsor. I started working the steps again, and my life has changed since then.
That's AA, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're clear on that. That's what we were talking about, is the 12-step program. So continue, because I know you're still really involved with the AA.
I'll tell you a little bit about my story. When I was 14, because my dad was in the restaurant business, he had liquor all over the house because he'd have parties, and I didn't see really any social drinking. I saw a lot of people that got drunk, and I thought that's what you do. So one night I took 3 million bottles from my dad's cabinet, and I went in the backyard. And one by one, I drank all of them. And what happened is I felt this calm, peaceful feeling come over me. Some people call it the Holy Ghost, but I think it was the alcohol. And from that point on, it was my solution. My parents didn't know. And so I had friends that weren't too good of an influence, so they would come over and we'd take my dad's alcohol. And because he drank so much, he never knew that anything was taken. I remember the first time I got drunk. We were going up to Brighton to stay in a cabin. I was 16, and I took two bottles of wine, and I chugged them on the way up. And I don't remember what happened after that.
Oh, wow.
And my friend said, do you know what you did last night? And I said, no. And they told me all this stuff as I was throwing up every time I'd ask a question. I was sicker than a dog, but I liked that comfortable feeling, so I kept drinking.
And how long did you, were you drinking before you went into treatment or before you quit drinking, I should say?
Well, I think for 21 years, I was off and on. I was called what you call a periodic. I could quit to go on a mission, but I got drunk on my mission. 2 weeks after I came home, I was drinking again. I did not have that first defense against the first drink. I could always quit for certain things, but I couldn't quit starting. Mm-hmm. That drink would show up, and I'd be right back there.
You've been sober for 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you, the first time that you quit, did you go to AA or some kind of treatment facility? Tell us how, you know, when you reached a point of, this is enough, I'm done.
What happened is I was in the process 29 years ago. I opened a restaurant in Draper. At that time, I was into drugs like cocaine. I'd been drinking and using for 6 months, and I had an uncle that went into treatment, and he came back, and I was still drinking and using, and I was living behind his house in a one-bedroom place with this other Mexican guy I worked with, and my wife had kicked me out. She was done. She didn't know the extent of what I was doing. And so...
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, we can hide it pretty well. What happened is I went to an AA meeting and I was confronted. They said, do you need to go to treatment? And so I said, I'll go. And they said, now. So I said, oh, let me get a few things. So I had to get pretty hammered to go to treatment, but I did go. That was January 20th. On the 22nd, this was called Day Spring at the LDS Hospital. On the 22nd, I went into the smoking room, which they had back then, and I looked on the wall, and they had the 12 steps of AA, and they had the 12 traditions. And I looked at those steps, and I saw the first step, and I knew my life was unmanageable, and I could not control my drinking. The second step, I have always believed in a higher power. And the third step, I turned my life over to the care of God. So I saw those first three steps, and I said, I can do that. So I went into the shower, was taking a shower. I got on my knees, and I said, Heavenly Father, I can't do this anymore. And I said, whatever I need to do, I'll do. And it was the first prayer I'd ever prayed that I didn't make a deal. Because all my prayers before then, I would say, if you do this, I'll do this. And I never follow through on my side of the prayer. But I was crying, and it was the first prayer I didn't make a deal. So I felt better after that prayer. And I didn't tell anybody about it. But that night I went to bed and I had a dream. And what happened is, in the dream, I and my roommate were at the state fair, and we were sleeping in these old army cots with a straw around us next to these rodeo bulls. And I was just laying in my cot, and this bull jumped the fence and tried to kill my roommate. And the harder the roommate fought the bull, the harder the bull came on him. And I saw dust and straw flying in the air. For about 15 minutes, I watched this fight. And all of a sudden, my roommate decided to lay down, pretend like he was asleep. The bull immediately quit trying to kill him. I looked at him, and the bull kept looking, and all of a sudden, the bull walked away, just sauntered away. And I woke up that morning, and I told my group about my prayer and that dream. And we believe that that was me getting beat up by my disease. Mm-hmm. When I tried to do it on my own, it always came back. But once I said that prayer and surrendered, it was gone. And to this day, it hasn't come back because I surrender that every day. But for the grace of God, go I. It's been a miracle in my life for 28 years.
It's so fantastic that you've been able to have such longevity with sobriety. What are the things that keep you sober?
The main thing is service to others. It is a big thing for me. I started working for Turning Point November of 2016, and it's the best job I've ever had because my experience with sobriety can help others. It's just, I feel like I have a life on purpose now. Like every day is I can do something for somebody else. But the thing is, I get so much in return. I get to see these miracles happen in people's lives. I get to see Chris change his life. I get to see you change your life. And this isn't just, this is because people are changing their lives. It's a life and death situation. You don't have much of a choice.
Right. And that's, along that line, that's why we decided to do this podcast is, we both realize that there's, there are good things that we can do with this, and having the viewpoint of the person locked in addiction and the person such as Amy that is kind of a victim of the addiction that she had no control over. And the service, the word service that you brought up is, that's something we realized that we wanted to get involved in. And that's something I really commend you for, Jeff, because you don't even realize that you're doing a service. You're just talking. When I met you, I was early in my second week of residential, and it was just a general passing. You weren't even on staff that night. We just crossed paths, and you stopped, talked to me. We had a general conversation, and I was still pretty uptight and, nervous, scared, and there was something very calm about my conversation with you, and it was very touching. And I told my wife about you that night when we talked on the phone. So service, that excites me to hear you say that, because that's really something that I would like to dive into when I'm, finished. I'm still, learning in treatment and healing, but I found that service heals me as well. And this beautiful woman over here has been tremendous. So
you're too kind. I think one thing is, Jeff, you don't just talk the talk, you do walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you. You'll go out of your way to give someone a ride to a meeting. I think it was the first day pass, and we had the young baby, and it was Chris's day pass to come out here, and you drove him all the way out to our house. Didn't need to. I mean, you really went out of your way, and I just commend you for that. And people see that and are inspired. I think there's something so powerful about seeing somebody who has recovered themselves, and they champion other people, because you can relate to somebody who's just gone into residential treatment, or in the various first phase of AA, they're working the first step, maybe the first 24 hours of sobriety, and they're struggling. What words of advice do you have for somebody who is trapped in addiction or not sure, or somebody that's really struggling with their recovery?
I would say, don't be afraid to ask for help. So many people are ashamed and feel guilty of what they're doing, but they don't have any way to get out of it. Mm-hmm. It's such a vicious cycle. And I was in that cycle. And I've been where those people are at. And I just have empathy for those people, but they don't know any other way. They, if they had the tools, they could maybe do it. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the tools. And I would say reach out to somebody that's clean and sober, or to just get on the phone and look for help, because there is help. There are so many people that want to help. This disease of addiction is a family disease. It just doesn't affect the alcoholic or the addict. It affects generations of people. Mm-hmm. It's been generations in my family. I'm lucky enough to be sober, but and I don't have the struggle I used to have. And it's working out now, you know. It's such a good life I have. I didn't realize how good it could get.
You're truly an inspiration to me. I mean that from my heart. I'm glad to have you in my life. I'm very grateful for you. I want you to know that.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you guys. And I might have a few more days, but I'm only one drink away or drug, and I just don't want to do that. What I do now is I look down the road if I were to have one or two of what my life would be like. And I don't think I could, I think maybe 2 weeks if I started again, because it's progressive.
So if I can steal a phrase I learned in Turning Point, you play the tape forward.
Yes, I do. Yes.
It's my favorite one. Holla. Yeah. Shout out to my Turning Point homies.
So I know after this, you're headed to an AA meeting.
Uh-huh.
What kind of highlights of AA for somebody who hasn't gone there? What can they expect? What do you love about AA? What keeps you going back?
The best thing I've found there is people that love unconditionally. They don't care what car you drive, or if you don't drive a car. They don't care your status in life, or if you have a lot of hair or not. I mean, they love you anyway. And that's what it is. It's like a family. That meeting you went to, those people are like a family. That meeting's been going for 33 years. And some of the original people are still there. Mm-hmm. So I would, if I could impress on anybody, just go. Just get to a meeting and tell somebody you're struggling, and they'll reach their hand out. That's what we're supposed to do. I learned a long time ago in the restaurant business. My father, when somebody off the street would come in that was like homeless, he would give them the best steak, give them all the trimmings and the fixings and the good food, and he would give him $5 and a loaf of bread. And I said, "Why do you do that, Dad?" And he said, "Because I don't know who that is, and I want to help anybody I can." So I've learned that pretty early.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. For anybody who is looking to go to AA, isn't sure how to make that first step, you can go to www.aa.org. It's great. I think on the front page, you can put in your zip code, your location, and there are oodles of meetings any time of day, pretty much early morning, afternoons, evenings, all throughout. You know, we're in Utah, Salt Lake area, and they're all throughout the valley. So take the time. to find one that suits you, and you'll probably run into Jeff or somebody like him, and you'll be glad that you did.
I just want to tell you guys, do you know what makes me smile?
What's that?
The muscles in my face.
I was going to guess tickling, being tickled, but okay. And just along that, on our resources page on loverecoveryrr.com, we've got the link to AA on there as well as some other places, but it takes a lot of courage to ask for help. It's something that I was unable to do myself. It took an intervention for me. But I'm glad I'm where I'm at today. I feel really good. Pause is whipping me up a little bit, but...
What is pause again? We should explain that.
It's something cats have that they traipse around and scratch their poop. Pause is post-acute withdrawal syndrome. You know, it's just something that kind of kicks in about 90 days into recovery and can last a while. And by a while, I mean 9 months to a year. But it's... nowhere near the misery of being an addiction. And, you know, I just want to encourage people that are sick of being locked in addiction, because I know I was for decades. I didn't like using. I didn't like who I'd become. I didn't like lying and manipulating. But it's where you get, and it's terrifying to think of not having access to those things that you think are the only link to normalcy for you anymore. And so I encourage you to reach out to anybody. Just try to get help any way you can. And even if it comes down to an intervention, you know, just accept the help at that point. It's such a relief. It's such a weight off your shoulders. I can't express that enough. So, Jeff, I really appreciate you coming in here. You're welcome. If you've got additional, if you want to add anything here, or if there's anything else you want to speak to or about, you know, you're more than welcome to. And Amy, if you've got some questions, please.
No, I just appreciate this opportunity. This is another form of service, and I love doing this. I'll do more if you want me to. So,
oh, thank you.
It's good.
We'd love to have
you
guys.
Definitely,
yeah, I love
we
you
love
too.
You.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
That was our friend Jeff, the angel of Turning Point. We'd like to thank him for coming out and sharing his story about recovery and how he's been able to maintain 28 years of sobriety. For those of you struggling with addiction, please reach out to someone, as Jeff said. There are plenty of great options for you, whether going to an AA meeting, recovery refuge, or to a rehab center.
We prefer recovery center.
Recovery center. There are plenty of great recovery centers out there, and we encourage you all to go and find one that is best for you.
I would like to say there are plenty of great recovery centers out there. Turning Point worked for me, and they're going to get a lot of props out of my mouth, but I also know there are a lot of good ones out there. Please ask for help. Don't be afraid of it. It's wonderful.
So I get to pick the rock song for this episode, and I chose Surrender by Cheap Trick after listening to Jeff's story and talking about how he had to surrender. It just seemed to fit, although the full lyrical content doesn't completely relate. I think the chorus we can all relate to, and it's a great song. So check out our website for links to Surrender by Cheap Trick.
Surrender, surrender.